to be better Christians and to walk the path that our Savior walked. So we pray in His name. Amen.
Amen. Got a good lesson tonight. Hebrews 12 and verse 15 onward. 12 and verse 15 talks about, this is the one they talk about falling from grace. Okay? Falling from grace. All right? Let's look and see what it really says. I think I can see better without my glasses tonight, so I'll do that. Sometimes I see better with them, sometimes I see better without them. My eyes are different every day, it seems like. I don't know what's causing all of that. Episcopo-ountes. May. What's this next one? Tis. All right. Hysteron. Come on, guys and girls. What's the next one? That one's pretty easy. Apo. Tis. Caritos. To. Theu. May. Tis. Ritza. Pikrios. Ano. Fiusa. In no clay. Kai. Di. Altes. Mianthosin. And then Poloi. All right. This word here, episcopontes, it was used, it's used two times in the New Testament. It's a rare word. The other man that used it is in 1 Peter 5 and 2. Peter used it. Okay? Now, we look at Peter as the dumb fisherman. You know, that's a lot of people portray him as a dumb fisherman. But Peter was a well-educated man. I mean, there's, in all reality, a lot of times fishermen had time to read and think when out there waiting for the fish to bite, okay? Or as they're stroking along going out there, they got a lot of time to drink, to think and just drink in some tremendous theology and philosophy and everything. And evidently, Peter read a lot of books. Just being exposed to Jesus educated him highly. Jesus was, I guess, the way he spoke, he was aware of just about every writing there was. Can you imagine him growing up, the Son of God, and how he was grabbing in and drinking in all the things in this world, the philosophies and all of that of the times? Well, here's a word here that Peter uses, and this highly educated Greek writer here, episcopontes, two times in the New Testament, watching over carefully. It's a present participle active, all right? Watching over carefully, not anyone falling, all right? Hysteron. We get our word hysterical out of this word, all right? Word falling, hysterio, all right? From the grace, falling from grace. How in the world? Now, the Armenian philosophy of the world, what do they believe? You know, there are two groups of philosophy. I mean, whether you like it or not, there are two groups of philosophy in the world, religiously, okay? And they're on two sides of this fence. One of them is the Armenians, and the other is the Calvinist. Okay? And they group us, as we believe, as Calvinists, okay? Now, the Lord never needed Calvin to do anything, to tell you the truth. And the Baptists believe what many of the things that Calvin taught from time unknown, from the very inception of God's church when he called it out. All right? Salvation by grace. That's true. Now, your Armenians over here, there's all different kinds of flavors of these people, different kinds of degrees. All right? From people that never sin, they say, one sin will take you to hell, even after you are saved. Now, over here, Your Calvinists believe in security of the believer. All right. Security of the believer. Now, this bunch over here, there's some of them here that almost believe in security of the believer. How many of you ever heard of Amy Semple McPherson? You have? All right. Amy Semple McPherson was basically Pentecostal, and she was involved in a great revival effort in the United States and all over the world in some ways. And in her early church life, they are hyper-Arminians, okay? In other words, you get saved more than once. You go out, if you fall in any sin at all, if you sin, you think wrong, whatever else, you got to be saved again. Well, the Lord can only save you once. My stepfather was in that group. He was raised in this type of thing. And they had taught him when he was very young that if he was ever saved, and that if he fell from grace, that he could never be saved again. And that's how far out this way they are, some of them, okay? That you had to live above and without sin from the time that you were born again, or if you fell from grace, there was no sacrifice for you to come back to God, and they believed in sinless perfection. This was A.B. McPherson and all this bunch over here, okay? Now, coming this way, now she talked about the city and the mansion of God four square. And that's what we call the four square churches. Now do you know who she is? The four square churches. All right. Chuck Smith and your Calvary Chapel and all of them, they are, the foundation is four square, Amy McPherson. But Chuck Smith comes over here and believes almost in security of the believer. Almost. He'll say that, but then if you hear him talk sometimes, then he'll talk to, you know, sometimes people can fall from grace. Okay? But he doesn't say that openly over the radio and the television and stuff when he's broadcasting. But so he's more towards this way. Almost a Calvinist. Okay? Almost. The Calvinists all believe in security of the believer. Simple as that. That's what they believe. Okay? Now, the hyper-Arminians and the Arminians, they take Hebrews 12 and verse 15, and they talk about falling from grace. Anybody got King James there? What do you have, New American Standard?
New American.
Okay, let's see what New American Standard. Marilyn, do you have King James back there someplace? Okay. You got one there? Okay. New Testament? Oh, that's all we need. Hebrews 12 and verse 15. Okay. I'd like you to read that. Just see what it says there. I can't remember exactly, but I think it talks about you're falling from grace or something like that.
12 and 15.
Yeah.
Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness spring up trouble you, and thereby may be defiled.
Okay. What it's talking about here, thank you. Thank you. What it's talking about here is not falling from grace. Hebrews the 6th chapter talks about this also. But what he's talking about here is that who is the book of Hebrews written to? Pretty simple.
Jewish believers.
Jewish believers. All right. Jewish believers had a problem. They liked being Jews. There's even a lot of them today. And there's a whole lot of this Jewish believers today, even the Jewish in what we call messianic synagogues. But they still want to be Jews. They still like Judaizing. Instead of coming to the Lord and joining one of his churches in this world, they want to go right back into Judaism and just take the gospel into Judaism. All right? And just go through the ceremonies and all that kind of stuff. Those ceremonies are the thing of the past. Okay? They're a thing of the past. There's a lot of this, you know, pray for Israel and all this kind of stuff. And we see it on television all the time on the religious channels. Pray for us. Send us money. You can get a Jew over here in the land and everything else. And they just want to be Jews. Some of them will name the name of Christ, but they'll do it, I think, just to to get money. Simple as that. They know how to work the system. Okay? Well, we had problems back in the first century. So whoever wrote this book wrote to the Hebrew Christians and told them, quit being Jews. Come to the Messiah. The Messiah has come. Don't fall back into Judaism. All right? All of that stuff is, Jesus is better than all of that. Besides that, he established his church. All right? You need to go to one of his churches and forget that all. Convert those people and bring them into the churches. All right? And of course, churches, in the churches, ecclesia, what in the world, what does churches mean? What does a church mean? It's not a church house, is it? It's assembly. All right? An assembly. It is assembly of believers. Covenanted together. All right? The atheke, covenanted together. Barith in the Hebrew. All right? Covenanted together to carry out the gospel. Okay? Watching over carefully, not anyone falling from the grace of the God. Falling from Christ. Falling out of Christ. And back into Judaism is what it's talking about. Falling out of Christ and back into Judaism. And it says, if any one of you, a root of ritza pikrios. All right, a root of bitterness. Now, what's the word for root in Hebrew? Remember? Nazareth comes from it, nitzar. Nitzer. Okay, here we got rizza, and the Hebrew is nitzer. A root of bitterness. Okay? Root of bitterness. By the way, the root, if you want to look that up in the analytical Greek lexicon, it's on page 360. And bitterness, pikrios, is on page 324. And then we have a little adverb, ano. Any root of bitterness is upgrowing. And the word theousa there, it's nominee singular masculine, present participle active. That means to sprout up. That means germinate. This root of bitterness that was in Judaism, don't let that haul you back into it. And they'll come out and they'll try to get them to go back in there. What happened at the council in Jerusalem? That James led that council in Jerusalem. What was it about? That they wanted the Christians to be circumcised so they could be covenanted in. And they decided, no, we're going to do that. We're not going to require the Christians to be circumcised. They don't have to go through the circumcision. Paul called them the mutilators. All right? They cut their flesh like pagans. Is what he attributed them to paganism. The mutilations. That's what he called the circumcision. The mutilators. He said, growing up that may disturb you. In ocle, that word is literally from in and oklos. Okay? Oklos is a crowd. What it means here is a bunch of people getting together and troubling you with a crowd annoying you with a bunch of people. Who do you think the crowd is here? Synagogues. All right? The synagogues. The crowd of those people. Now, Paul the Apostle, he preached in synagogues, didn't he? Jesus preached in synagogues. Synagogue caused him a lot of trouble, didn't they? The one in Nazareth there one time when Jesus got up and said he was the Messiah, what did they want to do? They tried to kill him. Tried to stone him. All right. Then it says here that somebody may disturb you with a crowd through it, this, you may be defiled many. It may have made defile many. This word defile there is meon thusen. It's first aorist subjunctive passive. You may do this. He said, some of you Jewish Christians are maybe you didn't even really believe. You just don't want to lay down the Judaism. Momentarily you accepted the Messiah, maybe, but now you're wanting to go right back into the old thing. This means meonino. It means to die, it means to stain, it means to defile. It means to corrupt. It means to disprove. And it also means to reprobate. To deny the faith. Okay? Denied the faith. Denied the faith of what? Faith in Christ. Okay. Now 12 and 16. We're going to talk about a base man without any integrity. A base man without any integrity. God despised Esau for his dead heart. I want you to know that. I had a preacher tell me one time, he was kind of mixed up theologically, and he told me, he said, God, what it says where God loved Jacob and hated Esau, it means that he loved him less. He loved Esau less. But the Bible says he hated Esau. The word is hate. It doesn't mean say to love less. Why did God hate Esau? Because of his disbelieving heart. All right. Now, what did he have? He was the firstborn, wasn't he? Let's look at Esau for a minute and say why God hated him. All right. Why did God hate Esau? May. Tis. Pornos. A. Bebelos. Hos. Esau. Hos. Ante. Brosios. Mias. Apedeto. Ta. Prototakia. Iatu. All right. Now, not a fornicator or a profane babbler. That word fornicator there means sex for pleasure. Sex for hire is what it means. Pornography. The Catholics, you know, they're even messed up on this business. When a man and a woman are married, God created sex for you to enjoy each other. Simple as that. It's that God made it. He gave you every nerve in your body to be sensuous to each other. But sex is only in marriage. That's the place for it. Now, since we all have these passions, there are women and men that have gone about prostituting themselves since the book of Genesis. All right? All through all these years. Now, the Catholic Church, they say, well, if sex is only okay when you're going to have a kid. When you get too old to have kids, then you can't do that anymore. If you're not going to have a kid, then you can't do that anymore. But that's not what the Bible says. That's not what it says, period. That's their invention. That word pornos, all right, it means to prostitute yourself, and it also means homosexuality. Homosexuality is perverted too, isn't it? God created a man and a woman to fit together perfectly. Two queers, man or women, don't fit together right. Okay? They don't fit together right. That ought to tell you that. Or profane, babelos. Look at that word. We had that little word A there in the front. That's a correlative, okay? And then babelos. That's a babbler. It comes right into our word babelos, babbler, okay? This word is a babbler, somebody that likes to talk, to hear themselves talk, okay? Their own theology, their own little hobby horses, as Hos, particle, page 444. Esau. What was Esau's other name?
Edom.
Edom. All right. What does Edom mean? Huh? Comes from this Greek word right here. Right there. Dom, Edom. Dom means blood. Red. Red blood. Okay? It also means earth. Okay? Just think about this for a minute now. We're related to the earth because God made us from the same elements as He made the earth from. It came from Him. We aren't secondary creation. We're primary creation just like the earth was. Okay? It came out of the hands of God, out of the person of God. As Esau. But when you're born of the earth, you're born of sin, aren't you? When you're born again, you're born of heaven. Now, Esau, when he was born into this world, He had a birthright. He was the heir of his family. He was the firstborn. He was going to be the spiritual leader, and he was going to be the heir of all the property. He was going to be the big shot. He was going to be the executor of the estate of his father. Okay? But he despised that. He thought nothing of it at all. He didn't care about his heavenly estate or his heavenly calling at all. He was a glutton. A glutton that lived for their appetite. Go back there in Genesis, the 31st chapter, and Genesis, 22nd chapter, and you read about Esau. As Esau, who, ante brotheos, meos, who against one eating, for one meal, for one dinner. Now, Rebecca, have you ever been out to a real fine, fancy place for dinner?
Yep.
Name of the biggest one you've ever been to.
It's called Rainwater.
Rainwater, okay. Brother Randall, where's the fanciest eatery you've ever been to? Huh?
Nothing comes to mind.
Nothing comes to mind. David, have you been to some fancy place? Have you ever been out on the pier on Santa Barbara?
Yeah.
At that fancy restaurant on the end out there at Santa Barbara?
I don't know the name.
How about the Waldorf Astoria or something?
I went to Top of the Mark one in San Francisco.
Okay. All right. These are big places. Marilyn? Marilyn, where's the finest place you ever ate besides Taco Bell?
The Biltmore Hotel.
The Biltmore Hotel in Los Angeles?
Yes.
Okay. It really a fine restaurant. All right. Back in those times, now how much did it cost you to eat in a place like that?
It was reasonable.
All right. Brother David, how much did it cost you out there?
It was expensive.
Expensive. What, a couple of $100 or something?
For two people, probably $125.
Okay, $125. Okay. How about you, Rebecca? Do you remember?
Yeah, about that.
$125 for two people. Randall? You remember any place yet?
Oh, my favorite's the Wood Ranch.
The Wood Ranch. How many of you ever went up to the Greenback Copper Mine up in Caliente? Or not Caliente, but what's the name of that little place? Up by Glenville up there. What's that other little place over there? I can't even remember the name of it now. It's an old stagecoach stop. I can't.
Granite Station.
We went up there a couple of different times. I mean to tell you, that place was fancy. Cost a lot of money, but boy, did they have good food. And it was, you had the driveway out there in the middle of nowhere, and Buck Owens, when he opened up his Crystal Palace, he hired him, the chef. There is the chef, and that kind of place went downhill like that because it was the chef. Chef means a lot. All right. Dakota, do you remember the fanciest place you ever ate? We've gone out on the old Port Inn a lot of times. We've been to some pretty nice places. We went over to the Briars or something over there, and what's the name of that place? Remember, Marilyn?
The Brambles.
The Brambles, yeah. That's in
Cambria Pines.
Cambria Pines. Expensive places.
Well,
all right.
I had lunch at Biltmore, so that's why it was
so cheap. Okay, that's why it was so cheap, huh? Okay. But anyway, you go into some of these big fancy places, and it costs a lot of money. It's going to cost you $75 sometimes to eat or more. Now let's talk about Esau. Huh? Yeah. Esau was a Taco Bell man. A McDonald's guy. All he wanted to do is fill his gullet. He had no class. No. Now, what was the cheapest commodity in the land of Palestine when Esau lived? What was the cheapest thing you could get? Lentils. That was a bottom. That's like base flour. That lentils was like the cheapest thing you could possibly put on the table. The birthright for his family would have lasted for how many thousand years so far? How old is Israel? 4,000 plus years. And his people would have had the birthright for all this time. And what did he hand? What did he do? What did he give it away for? A bowl of beans. Taco Bell. That's it. Because it says he hated his birthright. He hated it. He denied the faith. God despised Esau because he despised God's promises. For one eating, he gave up for himself the prototokia. All right? This is used in the Septuagint. It's a very rare word for the firstborn rights of himself. He gave up all of his firstborn rights as being the high priest of his family. He would have been the father of the nation of Israel, so-called, if he would not have traded that all away for a bowl of beans. Can you imagine that? He didn't go. He went down to Taco Bell and got the cheapest thing on the menu. That's what he did. Just because he was hungry that moment. That's all. He said, I'm just dying. He walked in there and Jacob said, how hungry are you? I'm just dying. I want some of that lentil soup you've got there. I want a bowl of beans. Well, okay. We got them on special today for your birthright. I don't care. I'll give you my birthright. I don't care. I don't care about it. He's not going to do me any good if I'm starving to death. Do you think he could have gone to Mama's tent or to Dad over there and got him a piece of bread or something? Surely he could have. But he didn't want to wait. He wanted to fill his belly right then. And he despised the promises of God. He hated the promises of God. He had no respect for the promises of God. Now let's go on and look at the rest of the story. Isti. Gar. What's that one? Hote. Next one. Kai. This one's a little harder. Mate Peta. Thelon. Cleronomi Mason. Okay. Cleronomason. Mesai, that is. Tain. Eulogion. Eulogion. Apodokimaste. I get tongue-tied sometimes when I try to say this slower. Metanois. Gar. Tophon. Uk. Huran. Kaiper. Meta. Dracoon. Exetesos. Altain. Let's go back and look at these words closely. Rebecca, I didn't have you read the last two ones. Would you read the last two from the New American Standard for me, please? Get us, 15 and 16. I'll put that over there for you to read, and you're right there by the camera, so it picks you up.
Exercise foresight and be on the watch to look after one another, to see that no one falls back from and fails to secure God's grace, His unmerited favor and spiritual blessing, in order that no root of resentment, rancor, bitterness, or hatred shoot forth and cause trouble and bitter torment, and the many become contaminated and defiled by it, that no one may become guilty of sexual vice or become profane, godless, and sacrilegious person as Esau did, who sold his own birthright for a single meal.
Boy, what a dummy. Talk about dumb, you could just put stupid right across his face with red lipstick. Just like that, right across his forehead. And not only that, but God did it for him. Because that's what he just did right here in this verse. Este, ye shall have known. Now this word should be oidate. This is classical Greek, people. This guy used a classical Greek word, este. All right, este there, he uses that word instead of oidate. It's a second person plural, perfect, imperative, or indicative active, that is, perfect indicative active. For ye shall have known that indeed. All right, now this word chi there is not and in this case, but it's indeed, that's a particle of affirmation, still on page 208 in the Analytical Greek Lexicon. Mete peta. Afterwards. That's a little old adverb. You can look that one up on page 267. It comes from meta and epeta. And epeta comes from epieneta. Okay? You can look at that one up on page about 151. That's a big word there, a little adverb. It's a tri-compound word. All right? Meta, epi, and eta. Afterwards, wishing, thelon. Nominative singular masculine, present participle active. Kept on wishing. How long did Esau keep on wishing that he had not given away his birthright? Forever. How long did his children keep on wishing it? They're still over there fighting right now in the Middle East. Over the very thing, and they have no right to it. Period. Wishing, kleronomese. Kleronomese. To inherit by law, legally. All right. First aorist, infinitive active from kleronomino. The eulogion. That's the blessing. The blessing is when the father conferred his birthrights upon him and gave him the heirship. He became the next patriarch. Esau was the patriarch. He was a patriarch to be of his family, and he traded it away for one cup of soup. One cup of the cheapest commodity in that land, despising it. And then it says, apo do ki maseste. Okay? He was rejected. He was disapproved. Third person singular, first aorist, indicative passive. Comes from apo do ki maso. All right? That means that he was not approved. He disallowed himself, didn't he? For. All right. He was rejected. And then it says metanoias, repentance. That means a cross mind. That means a change in principles and practice, lifestyle, reversal of past ideas and past ideals and past standards. Okay? As far as we know, when Esau died, he was the same ungodly buzzard that he was born being. Gar topon. All right. Repentance. There was no place for repentance. He kept on seeking repentance, but there was no place for it. Not. It was found. Uk, urane. This word urane comes from Jurisco. There's a name in California called Eureka. I found it. That's what it means. From the Greek word Jurisco. Third person singular, second aorist, indicative active. Not it was found. Through Kai Per. That one's come from Kai and Perry. With tears. Now he bawled. He was squalling and bawling when he went home and his dad, who was Jacob and Esau's father? What was his name?
Isaac.
Laughter. Okay? You know, almost every one of God's men went wrong somewhere in their lives. Well, Isaac went so wrong as his wife had to deceive him with his son that was supposed to receive the birthright. Do you think that it was unknown in the camp of Isaac that Esau had traded his birthright to Jacob? Do you think that he did? Do you think old Esau or Isaac didn't know that God was displeased with Esau? But he wanted to circumvent the will of God. And he was going to lay hands on Esau and give him the birthright that he had thrown away because he liked that boy, because he was a hunter and he was a he-man and Jacob was a sissy. Okay? That's what he thought. He didn't think much of Jacob, but he loved Esau. Esau, he says, Esau, go out and get me some of that venison. Go out there and get me some wild game. Go out there and get an antelope or something. and bring it home and make it for me like I like, and I'm going to give you the blessing. I'm going to circumvent God and your brother, and I'm going to give it to you anyway. I don't care what he said and what the Lord says. I'm going to give it to you. And his mother, Jacob's mother and Isaac's wife, heard the story and the scheme. Who was the first one to scheme? Was it Jacob or his
mother?
Who was the first one to scheme? It was Esau and Isaac. Esau and Isaac were the schemers. And God allowed that woman to hear this conversation. And she goes, she said, go get me a calf, go get me a goat, go bring it. And let's fix this thing before your brother gets back, because Isaac's about to give all of the blessing that's yours to that little rat, that old red, the one that despised his birthright. Now go out here and do this, and I'll fix it up just like he likes. She knew how he liked it. So Jacob does that, and he comes in there, and I guess evidently Esau stunk like a goat, okay, and was hairy, real hairy. And because he took some of the goat skin and that stinking goat skin and put it on his arms and rubbed him, that stuff all over him like perfume, except it wasn't perfume, like a skunk. But that man liked that. That old boy liked that boy. And he come in there and he says, oh, you smell like Esau, but your voice is like Jacob. And then he felt of him, oh yeah, you're all rough and hairy and you do stink. And this is what I ordered. He said, how'd you get here so fast? Oh, the Lord was with me. Well, the Lord was with him. And in the end, he gave all the blessings to him. And then he eats and he's merry in his heart because he's thwarted the promises of God and given them to the wrong man, he thinks. And then here comes Esau, his pet. He walks in there. Hey, Dad, here's the stuff. What do you mean? You just left. No, it's me, Esau, your son. Your son. Oh, no. I don't have any more blessing for you. I gave it all to your brother because I thought he was you. Who did the scheming? Isaac and Esau were doing the scheming. God used Jacob to get the right man in there. We call him the trickster and everything else, but I'm telling you, he did what was supposed to be done. Tears, he having sought out, nominee singular masculine, first aorist participle active, he sought out repentance. He was crying to God, and he begged his father. Esau begged his father to give him the blessing, and he couldn't do it. He couldn't do it because he'd already given it away. He'd already conferred God's blessing upon Jacob. Rebecca.
Typer? Mm-hmm. How come that first letter is like the shape of an X, but on Chi, it's like a K?
Typer? Well, it's Chi. It's Typer. All right. It comes from Chi and comes from Peri. And it means literally and concerning. That's literally what it means. And Chi, concerning, Peri. Though or although. All right. It comes from two words, Chi and Peri. Okay. And it says, though with tears he sought it out. He sought repentance. He was so sorry that he had given his birthright away. And his father was going to confer it upon him even though he had despised it. And God circumvented through his wife and Jacob. Okay. 12:18 now. Evidently it is. In this case, it definitely was. He was the first one to scheme. Many people talk about the schemer Jacob and Mrs. Isaac, but it was not. It was Isaac and Esau that were the schemers. They had to circumvent him to keep him from giving the blessing to the wrong son, even though he was the firstborn. Ooh. Next one.
Gar.
Pros ele leitate. All right. And then here's a hard one. Selah fomeno. Kai. Kekamino. Peri. Kai. Nofo. Kai. Sofo. Kai. CLA. All right. Let's look at this one. Mount Sinai and Mount Zion are contrasted. For not. We start out with the gar first, because that's your conjunctive casual particle there. For not ye have approached. All right. The word have approached. Second person plural. Second perfect indicative active. Have approached. To being felt. That's what that next word means. All right. Now the word mountain is left out here. It's kind of understood. All right. By the way, Rebecca, will you read the last one? The last verse, and then read up to this one a little bit.
For you understand that later on, when he wanted to regain title to his inheritance of the blessing, he was rejected, disqualified, and set aside. For he could find no opportunity to repair by repentance what he had done. That is, no chance to recall the choice he had made, although he sought for it carefully with bitter tears.
All right, he disallowed, he disqualified himself, didn't he? He disqualified himself. Isaac didn't disqualify him, Jacob, or Esau disqualified himself. All right. Now the next one, for not ye have approached to being felt. Can you read that?
For you have not come as did Israelites in the wilderness to a material mountain that can be touched. A mountain that is ablaze with fire, and to gloom and darkness and a raging storm.
All right. For ye have not come to a mountain or to a place that can be touched. All right. That's what the word, it's stelafao. That means to be touched. Okay. It's a classical word. This word is. This is a classical Greek word. Again, we got a classical Greek writer using some classical Greek words, which were very rare. And having been ignited. That having been ignited is the fire. What happened up there on that cloud, up on that mountain up there when God was talking to Moses? It said it was a cloud that was so thick that nofo, that word thick cloud, that's the word thick cloud. Darkness, it means a thick cloud and in thick darkness. And a tornado, a hurricane, it means to boil. The Elah, all right? Thick darkness. One time in the New Testament, no foe. One time right here. It's quoted from Exodus 22. All right. It talks about thick darkness in Jude 6 and 2 Peter 2 and 4 also. Thick darkness. Okay, up on that mountain where there was thick darkness because of the glory of God, it was like a whirlwind up there. They heard a rushing, roaring sound. In Acts, the second chapter, it uses this word also, in Acts, the second chapter, where there on the day of Pentecost, when the church was immersed in the Spirit of God, they heard a rushing sound, a sound of mighty winds, like a tornado. And it said, tongues of fire, like a flame of fire, was on every one of these people's heads, like the burning bush. All right? Like the Shekinah glory there at the tabernacle. Like the Shekinah glory at the temple. That's what happened. All right? God took possession of that church and empowered it right there on the day of Pentecost. It didn't start then, but it was empowered then. All right? A thick cloud and darkness. 2 Corinthians 3:17 through 13. Hebrews 12:18. Exodus 19 and 12 and 19 and 16 and 20 verse 18. Deuteronomy 4:11. And 522, Dakota, can you bring me some water? Psalm 50 and verse 6 and Deuteronomy 4, 11 and 12. These are cough references to this, along with 2 Peter 2, 4 and 17 and Jude 6 and 13. All right. 12 and verse 19 now. Can you read that first word? Chi. Salpigos. Echo. What word in English do you think comes from that word? Echo. That's right. Echo. Echo is a what? A sound. All right. It's a sound repeated. And then the next word? And the next word? Phone A. Rhematon. Hase. Hoi. Acusantes. Pere te santa. All right. May. Pros tithene. Atois. Logon. This is quite a story, too. Right there. And trumpet. The sound. The sound of a trumpet. I used to go bear hunting and lion hunting and coon hunting and fox hunting and everything up in these mountains. I hunted a lot in the Breckenridge Mountains and up in the Greenhorns, up Rattlesnake Grade, and Oak Flat Lookout Tower in that area. And I remember I could get up there at Oak Flat Lookout Tower. And Oak Flat Lookout Tower is right above Democrat Hot Springs, basically. You know where Democrat Hot Springs is up there. And that whole canyon between Greenhorn Mountain and Breckenridge Mountain is right there. And I could get up there if my dogs were down there and I wanted to get them to come in. You know, it was getting late or whatever. They hadn't been doing well. I could holler or I could blow a horn. And I could hear that sound echoing off of the other mountain. All the way across. Echoing from one mountain to the other. Echo. And that's the word right there. Echo. Our word echo comes from that. That sound. By the way, in Acts, the second chapter, in verse 2, here we have the sound also. The sound. By the way, who wrote Acts?
Dr. Luke.
The one with High Greek, that wrote with High Greek. Whoever the writer of the book of Hebrews used that High Greek also. He used some of the same words that Luke used. All right? The trumpet, the sound, and phoné, the voice, and words, all right, of which the ones, having heard, they begged, they entreated, they declined, they wanted to excuse themselves, they were trying to beg off. And the trumpet, the sound, when they heard the voice of God, it sounded like a trumpet up there on that mountain, and it echoed all over those valleys. By the way, how many Mount Sinai's are they that they have tried to figure out? Remember from our videos on Sunday morning? 21, wasn't it? 21 Mount Sinai's. All right, we don't know the exact same right one. But up on that mountain, they heard the voice of God, and it was echoing out across those canyons, okay? They heard this, and it scared the daylights out of them. They heard the phoné and rhematon. The word rhematon there, it comes from rheo, which means to flow. You know, there's words lego, and there's laleo, and then we have the word leo here. Okay? The word leo, or rheo here, means a edict, a whole statement. It means a flowing of words in a long order. An order, an indictment. All right? They heard the indictment of God against them. Thou shalt not what? Use the Lord thy God's name in vain. You shall serve no other gods. You shall have no other gods before you. All right? You shall make no image of anything that crawls on the ground or flies in the sky or anything like that. These were all indictments. That's what they heard. And while they were doing this, they were trembling. It says, and they heard the sound, having heard, nominee plural masculine, first aorist participle active, they heard this. And they begged off. They kept on begging. Now, in Exodus 19, 16 and 19, 20, 18 and 19 and 19, you heard about this in the Deuteronomy 4 and 12 and 5, 25, 18, 16. This is when it took place now. And what did they ask Moses to do? We don't want to even hear his words anymore. It scares us too bad. We don't want to hear the sound of his voice. They declined to be in the very presence of God, not to be placed forth, to be near. All right? Prostithemi. That comes from prostithemi. It's first aorist infinitive passive. They didn't want to be placed near to the words that were being spoken. Autois logon. They didn't want to be close to God when he was speaking the words, his edicts or his commandments. They did not want to be near him. They were scared. All right? They were scared to death. You want to go to verse number 20 before we turn loose? You want to look at this one? It's kind of like, you want to go to that one? It's kind of a short verse. Uk
Epheron
To Diastalomenon Con Therion Thige Tu Oros Litho Bole Thay Say Te. Litho Bole Thay Say Te. Okay? All right. I try to slow down like that, and I get tongue-tied sometimes. And Oros, where do you have it?
It's between Ephron, Ephron, and Tu.
You have a gar? Okay. Maybe I left the gar out. Let's just put the gar in there if you want to. That may be a different manuscript or whatever, but we can put a gar there, okay? And what how it would be is, for not they kept on bearing the thing being charged or commanded, okay? They couldn't bear it. They couldn't stand the holiness of God. They couldn't stand his presence. He was scaring them to death. They couldn't bear it. We said, we can't stand it. Not they kept on bearing the thing, being charged or commanded. If even, that word con there, it comes from chi and on. That's a conditional, all right? And if, a beast. What kind of a beast? A therion. Therion. We looked at that word in Hebrew, in the book of Revelation, remember? That means a swift hunting animal. Now, when God called all the animals when he called the frogs into Egypt, did they go? They went. Whenever God wanted an animal, when memory they brought that wild donkey to him that had never been ridden before, and Jesus tamed it. He even called fish into the net in the Sea of Galilee. He went out in the wilderness, and the animals ministered with him and communed with him out there. The wild animals, the wild beasts. Okay? Now, do you think that animals, for instance, pigs, I think one of the reasons why God doesn't want us to eat pigs is they're smarter than we are. Pigs are pretty smart. Okay? There at the Sea of Galilee, when Jesus cast the demons out of that Gadarene demoniac, they requested that they be sent into the swine. Swine are pigs, okay? And the pigs, what did the pigs decide to do when the demons were casting them? They decided to drown themselves. They didn't want to live like that. Okay? They were using little noggins. Okay? That man was not near as good a shape as those pigs were. The pigs decided to kill themselves to get rid of this. Okay? Well, even the wild beasts know the holiness of God. Even wild beasts do. Thige. Even if a wild beast, third person singular, secondary, subjunctive act, may touch the mountain, the oros, it should be stoned and put to death. A wild animal. If a wild animal come up to this mountain and touch the mountain, nobody was supposed to touch that mountain at all. None of the people were. They said, even if a wild animal comes up there and touches this mountain, you kill that animal. You kill the animal. Because this place is holy. I demand that all nature obeys me. That's what God says. You know, when Jesus was on the Sea of Galilee, remember the time he was out there with Peter and the bunch? And there was a great storm come up. And he was out there. And they said, Master, arise, don't you know we're perishing? And he said what to them? You that don't have any faith. Yeah, ye of little faith. Ye of little faith. Well, the master of the whole universe is out there in that boat. The creation is not going to snuff out the master. The creation itself, and when he got up there, it said, be still. What he said, shut up. That's what he told the storm, shut up. And guess what? It shut up. And he said, man, even nature obeys him. Why, when the Lord of heaven, when he took Moses and he put his staff out over the Sea of Reeds, or the Red Sea, or whatever you want to call it, in the Hebrew it's the Sea of Reeds. When he put it over there, what happened to the waters? They stood on end. Okay? When they came up to the Jordan River, when they did what? When they started through that river, the water stood on end. And they walked right through on dry ground. That's miracles, people. God is over all of this. The storms. All of this. God is over it. Well, we'll start in 12 and 21 next week. Hope you enjoyed God's Word tonight. Do you have any questions? Anything? Please help me if you can. When we see something like that, Brother Randall, you're sharp about that. Rebecca, you want to read that last verse for us now?
20.
Uh-huh.
I cannot bear the command that was given. If even a wild animal touches the mountain, it shall be stoned to death.
All right. They just couldn't. They couldn't bear it. They couldn't stand the holiness of God. They were so afraid. They didn't want to be there. They wanted to get way off and stay out there. Moses, you go up there and you deal with God. We don't want to do this. We don't want to be there. You just tell us what God wants. And then what did they do after they get far away from God? They built them a golden calf and called it Jehovah. They had Aaron build the golden calf, and he called it Jehovah. This is the God that took you out of Egypt. This is Jehovah. What a blasphemous thing. It cost him his life, didn't it? Later on. Anything else?
On my inner linear, It's got Gar here, too.
Oh, is it got Gar?
Yeah, but
okay.
Okay,
that was my... I just missed it.
Maybe.
I just probably skipped over it.
I got a question.
I've made all the mistakes that a copyist could make. I know, because I wrote the whole New Testament by hand, and I made all these errors that all the copyists made. I understand how they did it. I had a good copy, and I left out Gar.
This is a silly question, but...
Oh, there aren't any silly questions.
Phone A for voice.
Sound.
Sound.
Uh-huh.
And then over here on the other, in 1218, they've got Zopho and Nopho.
Uh-huh.
Is it... And it's the same... It's the same spelling for half of it.
Yeah. It's in the same...
Like
it's in the same case. In the same case. It's in the same... The ending is the same.
But then in the other instance... Phone A means a sound.
Uh-huh, yeah. the phono. Phono is sound. We get a word phonograph from that. Then we have nopho. Okay, now that's a different word. That means a thick cloud. It means like a fog, thick cloud. And then we have sophon there. That word sopho there, that comes from sophos, in which it means thick pea soup darkness. So dark you can feel it. Okay? That's what Jude, the 6 and Jude 13 talks about in 2 Peter 2 and 4 and 17. They use this word sophon, which means thick darkness. Thick darkness. Darkness you can feel. All right? We'll start on verse number 22. And we don't have a whole lot more left before we finish up the book. Well, let's have a word of prayer and we'll go out and attack the world. How's that? We'll go out and do something eternal this week. Rebecca, would you mind leading us in prayer?
Sure. Lord, we thank you for this time that you've given us this evening to come to your word and to learn. And we thank you for our teacher and speaking through him to us. We ask you to watch over us this week and help us to go out and to do your will. In Jesus' name,
amen. Amen.